call this meeting of the House Housing Committee to order. First order of business is the approval of the minutes. Representative Johnson, have you had a chance to read the minutes?
I have, and I moved them.
Representative Johnson moves approval of the minutes. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Motion prevails, and the minutes are approved. So today is markup day for House File 2335. Chair Howard, we'll start with you if you have any opening comments before we move on to amendments.
Chair Igbaji, members, I really appreciated the testimony we received yesterday and look forward to the chance today to hear some of the amendments and have discussions on the omnibus bill, and really look forward to passing this bill and taking a big step forward on our path to make sure that everyone has an access to an affordable home.
Thank you so much. I will now move that the DE2 amendment be in front of the committee, and then from there we'll start picking up some of the secondary amendments. First, Chair Howard, you have an author's amendment coded A1. Would you like to move that amendment and then explain it?
Yes, I will move that amendment and explain it. Let's see here. Yes, so members, the A1 represents the author's amendment. And what we're doing here is a few technical pieces that I want to highlight some of the substantive changes. We're moving the Greater Minnesota Housing Infrastructure Program from DEED to MHFA. We think that makes more sense. We have modifications to Representative Igbaji's down payment assistance program, some technical changes related to the manufactured housing program, and some other technical changes from the revisor's office. The funding elements are the same as described as we walked through the spreadsheet yesterday. I will note that the amendment includes base funding for the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency programs that do not have a change in funding. We include those in the amendment as well. And so that describes the author's amendment.
Thank you, Chair Howard. We'll move on to member discussion. I have Representative Johnson on the list.
Chair Badgie, just technicality. I'm just wondering, as we're moving this, what's the path for this bill?
Oh, sorry. I did not say that. So the motion is that it be re-referred to the House Taxes Committee. Any further member discussion to the A1 amendment? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of the A1 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The motion carries, and the amendment is adopted. So we'll now move on to further amendments. I think first up, we have the A4 amendment. Is that you, Representative Dossett, the A4?
It is. Thank you, Chair, Madam Chair, and Chair Howard. My amendment is actually a real simple amendment. It's more for discussion today. I think I've had some discussion offline on this as well with some of your members. What we're looking at doing is proposing an amendment to basically allow some transportation for some of the homeless from Carlton County to existing facilities that are currently in the city of Duluth, just because we're not currently set up to help accommodate maybe some of the individuals in our existing area, and since we're adjoining, and allow transportation because we are adjoining city to the city of Duluth. So we're looking at just trying to work in conjunction with it. I did have some discussion offline with Representative Kozlowski, and I think we've come to agreement that maybe we can work through this amendment as we move forward and try to come to some sort of peace in the valley on this one and try to work together on this one. But I guess I'd love to leave it for more discussion right now.
Okay. Do you want to continue discussion, or would you like to withdraw the amendment?
You know, I'll withdraw the amendment.
Withdraw the amendment. Yep. Okay. Thank you, Representative Dossett. A4 has been withdrawn. We will move on to the A5 amendment. I believe that's being offered by Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes. I would move the A5.
Yes, A5 being moved.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this is something we've actually talked about on both sides of the aisle here in the committee, that if we are going to provide funding, that the folks who are applying for it should have that in their own language. And I think, Mr. Chair, I hope you would agree with this, that, and I know Representative Hassan and I have talked about the need to do this. I just... I just think that it's unfair if we're going to have folks who don't speak. I think in the state of finance bill, there's, or maybe it's your bill, all the omnibus bills are running in my head, but there is, I think there were three or four languages that were talked about in Chair Cleburne's bill as needing translation, and that's not enough. So I would hope that you would accept this amendment, that we could provide translation services for people who actually need it. And I hope that you would accept this as a friendly amendment.
Chair Howard.
Chair Igbaji, Representative Nash, I would appreciate a yes vote and would accept this amendment. I did want to note, I did have some conversations today with the agency, and I think we might want to continue to work on the language to make sure that we make sure that we're capturing the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish here, which I think is the right direction. But I appreciate what we're trying to do here and would encourage a yes vote for the A5.
Any further member discussion? Representative Nash. Or Representative Cha first, and then.
Thank you, Representative Nash. I appreciate the amendment, and thank you, Har, for making consideration. It means a lot to people like myself. Thank you.
Representative Nash.
And Madam Chair and Mr. Chair, thank you for this. You know, I serve on the Asian Pacific Islanders Council on their executive board, and none of those languages necessarily not all of those languages just spoken on that board alone are included in this, and I think we can do better. So I'm happy to work with the chair so that we can maybe tighten it up. If you would like to offer a clarifying amendment on the floor, that's fine, or I can. I just think that this is a message that we can send to Minnesota that we want to honor you with your language, and we want to make sure that any navigation of the system is done in a way that you can completely understand. So thank you, Mr. Chair, and I look forward to the vote.
Thank you. Seeing no further member discussion, all those in favor of the A5 amendment, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. With that, the motion carries and the amendment is adopted. The next amendment is the A6, and I understand that's also you, Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is an amendment that actually the Chair and I have talked about. This is a bill that ultimately coming into committee, and the Chair has agreed to have it as a hearing. I think we agree that in my example of the quadratic equation, there are many things that need to be talked about. This is a conversation around some of the things that are being done in the municipalities, aesthetic mandates, PUDs. I'm going to withdraw this amendment because the chair has agreed to allow me to have a hearing on this, and just wanted to give him a chance before I withdraw to affirm that.
Chair Howard.
Chair Badger, Representative Nash, we have talked about this. I do think we heard an element or a version of this with Representative Elkins' bill, but I think it's a conversation we need to continue. And to the extent that we can have a hearing, I'm supportive of that. To keep the work going forward, you know, next year is sort of the traditional policy year. I'll go one step further and say that I think that a lot of what we discussed in Representative Elkins' bill and the premise of this amendment are things that we should thoroughly consider and make changes to our laws. It's time to do that. So I appreciate you bringing forward the amendment and appreciate having a continued discussion and a hearing.
Madam Chair, at this point, I will withdraw the A6 because I do appreciate the Chair's indulgence because it is a conversation that's worth having. We don't have to agree on it, but I think that as a housing committee, we should be very thorough and look at all aspects of the coin. So I do appreciate your indulgence, and I will withdraw the A6.
The A6 is withdrawn. Moving on to the A7 amendment, I believe Representative Johnson, you'll be presenting the A7.
Chair Abadji, I move the A7 amendment. With the A7 amendments, it set up so that all of Minnesota is included in this bill. Roughly a little over 48% of the state's populations lives outside the seven county metro area. And you throw in, make it the 11 county metro area, it's still a large number that still live within greater Minnesota. What this does is divide it up so no more than 40% can be expanded in the metropolitan area counties, because greater Minnesota is really hurting. It costs more to build a home. It costs more to build rental units. apartment complexes in the metro area, the average cost to build a home runs between $125 to $150 per square foot. You get to greater Minnesota, and we're talking minimum $200 a square foot to build a home. And when you get into apartment complexes, if there's any state funding at all, it's besides that $200+ a square foot, it also goes up about another 17% of the total cost due to prevailing wage requirements. So it does take more money in greater Minnesota to get housing, and we're short on just as much short on housing as anywhere else, especially in workforce housing. So this is designed to somewhat even the odds so everybody gets what's needed, and I'm hoping that, Chair Howard, you can accept this amendment.
Chair Howard.
Chair Badger, Representative Nash, or I'm sorry, Representative Johnson, appreciate you bringing it forward and the discussion. I would respectfully urge a no vote. I would say that this bill is balanced and includes a lot of programs that will help address our statewide needs, specifically to greater Minnesota. There's more funding in this bill for greater Minnesota housing production than any housing bill that will ever pass this legislature. Additionally, a lot of the big investments we make in things like housing infrastructure bonds, the challenge program, and others, already the agency does a very good job of, as they've presented before us, looking at that regional balance piece. And so sort of a broad percentage sort of mandate over the top, I don't think is the right lever to pull. But you're absolutely right. We should be making investments all across the state, and that's what this bill does.
Representative Johnson or any other member discussion to the amendment?
Madam Chair, I appreciate the conversation with Representative Howard, and I agree. We need to work over all the states. I want to make sure we do, but at this time I will withdraw the amendment. I will continue to work on this, and I'd love to have some more conversation with you because a lot of the stuff in this bill, it doesn't fit greater Minnesota. And so it's, I believe it's a lot of it is metro-centric, and so I need to find out a way to make sure that greater Minnesota is covered in all the aspects.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. The A7 has been withdrawn. We'll move on to the A8. Representative Nash, I believe that's your amendment. Would you like to move the A8?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And before I move the A8 and begin discussing it, I'm not sure that the line references match up to where the bill is right now after the author's DE. So if we could, on the outside chance that you take it, if we could appropriately have it corrected for where that is, if House Nonpartisan could tell us where it would actually fall in the new bill.
That's something looks like they're looking. So as House Research is looking for that, Representative Howard, if you just want to.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Nash.
If you wanted to, we could pass by the A8 for now, go to the A9 from whoever is going to offer that, and that gives House Nonpartisan some time.
Okay.
And you can come back to my A8?
Yeah, we could do that. We can do it that way. Is that okay?
I'm all about being all friendly.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Representative Nash. Representative Myers, I have you on the list for the A9. Would you like to move the A9 amendment? Or if that is somebody else?
That would, I believe that would be my amendment.
Representative Johnson? Okay. Representative Johnson, would you like to move the A9 amendment?
Chair Badgie, I'm just double checking to make sure that it also lines up with the new amendment.
Okay.
Which it will not.
Right.
As there are two extra pages. It's a. Give me one second.
Yep.
I There again, this one does not line up with the new amendment.
Okay.
I would recommend for the committee that if these amendments are adopted, that the chair gives discretion to nonpartisan staff to act with the committee's will to adjust the line and pages accordingly with the accepted amendment.
Chair Howard.
Chair Bajie, Mr. Harney makes an excellent suggestion, and so that's, let's proceed in that
fashion. Okay, let's do it that way. Representative Nash, do you want to go back to your A8, or do you want to move?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I would be delighted.
Okay. Well, Representative Nash moves the A8 amendment. Representative Nash, would you like to explain the A8 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move the A8's adoption for passage and request a roll call on it.
Roll call having been requested.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the A8 is pretty simple. It would remove the imposition of the metro sales tax that the chair has included in his bill. For this reason, $1 billion is a lot. So you had $1 billion to work with. It's, I think you've spent every nickel of that in the bill. And I you agree that this is a regressive tax, that this is going to tax the people for whom you are intending to provide the benefit of this tax after it's collected. And I think that there's maybe a better way. You could have, apologies, you could have put something in your bill that would have taken care of this. But after you built your bill, you brought in the sales tax after it was introduced. I think it was Monday, then we heard it in committee, and then it was suddenly in the bill. I think that, Mr. Chair, respectfully, that this is it's an abrupt inclusion into the bill. If it effectively materialized and became reality in a week. I don't know that even people in the metro quite understand what is going on. I know that in testimony, both written and in person, that we've heard from at least metro cities that they are issuing some cautions on that. I think there was also a letter from the League of Minnesota Cities that did express some level of concern with it, not outright opposition, but it's a lot. And I think, and you can correct me again because I have a ton of numbers rattling around my head, but I think it collects $120 million the first year, and then in the out years it collects more than that. That's a lot of money. And oh, thank you. There it is. 151 in 24, 187 in 25, 192 in 26, 198 in 27. I would appeal to the chair that a week is not enough time to take something that's really that weighty, that we didn't have really organized testimony against after introduction. It just showed up as you were building your bill. Let's take it out. It would save you a committee stop having to go to taxes, and as I understand it, Representative Gomez is not a big fan of regressive taxes, so who knows what happens there. But just on the optics alone of jamming this through quickly, whether the desired outcome is worthy or not, I don't remember hearing any organized testimony against it because it was too fast. It was just incredibly fast, and even at the pace that we have seen yet this legislative session, I would hope that the chair would recognize that a week's elapsed time from introduction to inclusion in the bill to passage in that same week, we could all agree that that's far too rapid to have appropriately allowed the public to testify either in favor of it or, as I would imagine, against it. And for that reason, I am asking for the language for the tax to be removed, and I did ask for a roll call.
Representative Howard.
Chair Badger, Representative Nash. I would urge a no vote. We did have a fair amount of discussion on this with the bill on Friday. I would just make a few comments. One, this has been the desire and need to inject new resources into our housing, especially in our metro area where some of the pronounced disparities exist. Is not a recent issue, it's a long-term issue. Second, the notion of this tool, a metro-wide sales tax, is also not a new issue. This legislature a number of times has passed a portion of a metro-wide sales tax for transit. And here we're having a mechanism and a tool that we've discussed to address a need that we all recognize in housing. I want to speak also to the notion that it's regressive. Folks that do have higher incomes will pay more of this tax by virtue of they'll spend more. And you know what's more aggressive than a sales tax is housing costs and rents that are going up. In the metro area, fully half of all renters are paying more than 30% of their income in housing. If a family were to spend $20,000 in sales tax eligible purchases, this a quarter cent sales tax would cost an additional $50 per year for those families. And so when you look at the extreme needs of affordable housing in our metro area, the benefits far outweigh the cost. And so I would urge a no vote on the amendment.
On the list, I have Representative Myers.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair Howard. You knew I was going to speak on this. And we had a good conversation today, and I do appreciate it. So the last budget was $185 million. We're spending $1 billion now. This is a record. And, I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing, and I think there is a need there, and it's the job of this committee to prioritize what those needs are. I will say that, Minnesota Department of Revenue tax study did say that, this is a regressive tax. So we have studies that lower income households are going to be affected by this. This session, as I said before, if you look at the totality of everything, I think we're at over $5 billion in tax increases. Hennepin County is going to go from, 8% to 9% if we look at all the tax increases, restaurants, entertainment, lodging is going to go from 11 to 12%. A lot of people and businesses are still trying to recover. And so I think this could have a even greater impact on visitors, tourism. And I live in Hennepin County, so I'm one of the, people that this will affect in my district. The past 2 months I've had four town halls, and I get people from my district that come both sides. They like some of the stuff going on down here. They don't like some of the stuff going on down here. But those families, those seniors, are still waiting to see how and what we're going to do to make Minnesota more affordable. And it's not about spending everything, and it's not about complete tax cuts. There's got to be something in the middle. And at least that's what I believe. And I think that record budget that we're spending it is getting something to the middle, but then we're adding this sales tax on. What I'd like to see from this committee and from both sides, let's try to do something different than what I'm seeing in these other committees. And those other committees are raising taxes. We have an opportunity. We have the time. There will be a supplemental budget next year that we can work through this stuff. Let's pull this piece out. Let's talk more about this. To hear this on a Friday, and now we're 3, 4, 5, 6 days, and it's in the final budget. I want to invest in Minnesota, but I also want to make sure that we're not adding to the hardship that we're seeing in all these other committees. So I would ask members on both sides here to let's be the outlier. Let's pull this one out. And not do what we've seen in so many of the other committees.
Okay, next on the list is Representative Johnson.
Chair Badgey, Chair Howard, I wish you would accept this amendment. Got to remember, at a quarter of 1%, is when you do taxes, is always rounded up. So every quarter percent, if it falls into a 1.5 cent sales tax increase, they're paying 2 cents. 1.25 cent is they're paying 2 cents. So it's that your $50, I think, is a little off. It's going to be a lot more than that the people are going to spend. I've been hearing rumors of what's in some of the bills across this the House this year on the omnibus bills. We're hearing in the range of $5 billion in new tax increases. we had a record-setting before the inflation went in on the forecast, $19 billion surplus. And we're increasing taxes another $5 billion. I don't know what to say. The people of Minnesota are absolutely furious everywhere I go and talk to people. They cannot believe what's happening down here. Now, we want to do everything we can to reduce the cost of housing. This isn't going to reduce the cost of housing. That's going to reduce the cost of people's ability to buy a house because it's taking more money out of their pocket. We need to do things to get investment into this state in order that we can even build rental units. But we have a philanthropist and a very wealthy investor that's made the comment, Mr. Kevin O'Leary, that Minnesota is a no-go state. Stay out of Minnesota. It's worthless. He spent over $45 million investments in North Dakota and refuses to come to the state of Minnesota. With this tax increase and the other tax increases, there's nobody going to come to Minnesota. We already have the population leave this state and going in a downward motion. Instead of attracting people, we're chasing people away. And it's because of stuff like this. Please accept this amendment because it's the first step to getting Minnesota back on track.
Representative Howard, any comments before we move on to the next member on the list?
I can wait till the end.
Okay. Representative Norris.
Thank you, Chair Vajay. I worked for several years as an advocate for youth and out-of-school time up here at the Capitol, and the first 2 months of the session were always great. We would introduce bills, and we'd get a long bipartisan list of co-authors, and we'd come before committee, and everybody would say glowing things about our bill, and then budget season would come around, and the budget targets would come, and the budget bills would be rolled out, and those youth programs, those out-of-school time programs, never seemed to get the budget target that they deserved. And I see a lot of the same thing happening with housing. You know, we've got a billion-dollar target here in the first biennium, and we can do a lot with $1 billion in housing. But $1 billion alone, unfortunately, is not going to solve the housing affordability crisis that we have in this state. It's going to take a lot more resources. And we have to realize that in the tails, we've only got $50 million allocated to housing. And that's not going to do the job. And that's with the best budget situation we're probably ever going to have up here at the state capitol. So if in the best budget situation possible, we're only getting $50 million moving forward to try to address this deep housing affordability crisis that we find ourselves in, we've got to look at other options. Because ensuring that every Minnesotan has shelter is one of our most basic responsibilities as a society, and that's an obligation and a responsibility that ultimately they look to us as our elected officials here in the state of Minnesota to address. We know that one of the best ways that we can address housing affordability is through increasing supply. And, you know, unfortunately, that takes money. Yes, there are some other things that we can look at, and we've talked about some of those today, and we're going to have additional hearings on those next year. But those alone aren't going to solve the problem either. It simply is an issue of supply and demand. And so as I look at it, I'm not a fan of raising taxes, and it's something that I don't do lightly. But given the situation, given the urgency of addressing this issue, and given the fact that even in the best of budget times, we can't seem to find the resources that it takes to address housing in our state, I see a dedicated revenue source as our only solution. And there's precedent for this. You know, you look at Minnesotans in the past who've supported a sales tax for things like the environment and the arts because they realize that these are important things. They go to our values as a state. And I think making sure that every Minnesotan has a roof over their head also speaks to our values. And to the regressive piece, it's true. And I don't like the fact that a sales tax is one of the more regressive forms of tax we have. But we're also trying to do a geographically targeted tax. And the reality is that there are not many other taxing options that you can use besides a sales tax when you want to geographically scope it. So, you know, like I said, I don't support tax increases lightly. It's something that I only do after careful consideration. But I think in these circumstances, with the depth of this issue, the urgency of this issue, and the evidence that unless we take bold action, we're never going to get ourselves out of this hole, off of this treadmill of trying to provide affordable housing for people, this is a provision in the bill that I support, and I will be voting no on the amendment.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the Chair as well. You know, I've been involved with putting together a lot of budgets, and it is true what we just heard, that we get into budgeting and we sometimes think there's just never enough for our area. And unfortunately, the problem that we deal with here at the legislature is all of us put our budgets together in a silo, okay? Now, I've been in the majority as well, in which we had to figure out how we're going to distribute the funds, and especially if there's a surplus or whatever. But we never really take a look at how everything fits in with as a whole. And whereas we could say that our housing needs are a state responsibility, we can argue that. I'm not sure that it's listed in our responsibilities in the Constitution, but let's just say it is. If we say we need to solve it within our particular area without looking at how do we prioritize that within the rest of the state's budget, then we are really kind of condemning ourselves to an unsustainable growth in government because nobody else has to make that decision. In our own budgets, personal budgets, we have to resolve the fact that our wage increases or job changes or whatever is only going to generate so many dollars, okay? And we have to decide how we're going to distribute that. Here in the state of Minnesota, over the last 10 years that I've been here, the state budget has grown 2 and 3 times faster than the average income for the average individual. And that is something that just can't be sustainable after a while. Because we can add tax upon tax upon tax, but eventually what that does is it limits and it reduces the disposable income that everybody has. And so when you start looking at this 0.25% and say, well, it's just 0.25%. But then I look at transportation, which I'm the lead in, and there's another 0.75%. Right? So that's another full percent. Plus you add on top of it the other things that are in transportation that is going to increase the cost of driving cars and vehicles and ultimately will increase the cost of transit and other things and the subsidy that's required to it, all of a sudden it starts kind of like the snowball going down the hill and we can't stop it. And so whereas we say, well, we need more for housing, I think that's probably true. And I think we want to make sure that everybody has a secure and safe place to live. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. The question is when are we going to have to take a look at how we prioritize all of the needs and wants of our community versus what money we have available? And so this is one area in which I would really love to see some sort of task force or something that looks at the entire budget, et cetera. That's what Ways and Means does, kind of, and other things to do it. But really, we've got to figure out how we prioritize what the spending is for the state and how we deal with it, because we can't continue to grow state revenues and the collections by 10-15% each year without it having an impact. Because the reality is that nothing that we spend here at the state legislature, that includes this $1 billion, whatever, can be done unless we first take that money from somebody else, either as taxpayer or fees or whatever. And eventually there comes a point in which you really ought not to be taking any more. I don't know if this is it or not, but I do think it's something for us to consider. And I was a little surprised to see it come just a week ago. But I understand the difficulties that you're having in trying to figure out what to do as well. It's just something that I think is way larger than us dealing with it right now today. So thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Howard, any comments?
I'll just make a few closing comments. Just to the last comments of Representative Petersburg, you know, I actually agree with a lot of what you said about the how we need to look at things holistically. I think housing is an area that has been hurt by our lack of doing that because of how foundational housing is for everything, whether we're talking about the success of kids in the classroom, whether we're talking about the economic stability for families to thrive, whether we're talking about health of families. Everything starts with home. And I think what I've learned in these 4 years is that sort of the traditional budget process has not delivered what our community needs for housing. And I think what Minnesotans should expect of us is to bring solutions that meet the scope of the challenge of our communities. And if how things have been done aren't working, we need to think about different ways to meet those needs. And I think this proposal is a way to do that, a way to look at our values and the collective value of making sure that everyone has access to an affordable home and to move in that direction. One other point I would make to the point of economic competitiveness, and I mentioned this on Friday, I really challenge head on the notion that something like this limits our economic competitiveness. I would say it's quite the contrary. One of Minnesota's metro region's economic competitive edges, when you look nationally, is our relative affordability of housing compared to folks on the coasts, Denver, other areas that frankly have lost. They missed their moment to make sure that there was a diversity of affordable home options in Minnesota. I don't think we're past the point of no return, but we're getting there. And that's why in this moment, in this year, we need to have solutions that address both the immediate needs and the long-term needs, and that's why it's important that this component stay in our total package.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of comments. And this is not meant critically, Representative Norris, but your presumption that $50 million in the out years is all that will happen presumes that the next legislature will not do anything, and that's not really what's going to happen. So. But spending in the tails is money that the current legislature makes a decision to spend money into the out years. The next legislature can come in and would likely put something together for housing. So that's a bit of a false premise. And if you've been here long enough, tails spending is crazy. I mean, it's an idea that even now in my ninth year, you're like, okay, so we're spending this now, but we're also spending this 3 years from now. So that's just one comment there. But one of the other things that you said about effectively the legacy amendment is that was a constitutional amendment that the voters of Minnesota chose. And I don't know if the chair wants to bring forward a constitutional amendment for an imposition of a tax for housing. I'm not sure that would pass, but that's how the legacy money came forward. And I think that there is a considerable difference between the legislature making the decision to impose this tax and the citizens of Minnesota agreeing to allow themselves to be taxed for that. Those are two very, very separate issues. Again, very heavily regressive. I do appreciate Representative Norris's admission that's a regressive tax. And it is going to harm a lot of Minnesotans. And I think it comes at a time that I know in talking to people, not just in my district, but I have friends in probably a lot of your districts that I talk with, and they're having a hard time with groceries and gas. They're having a hard time with paying for a lot of the things that they have to that are block housing that this will impact. This will greatly impact them. So in a time where you have a billion-dollar tax or you have a billion-dollar target for the committee and
You know, before we moved to the omnibus bill, you had $6 billion or more in bills, and I think you might have wanted maybe a bigger target based on that alone. But this is a lot, and this is a very regressive tax. It's going to hurt Minnesotans. So with that, I renew my motion to adopt the A8 and request the roll call. I believe I have on record.
I have already requested a roll call. I will give Representative Norris one last comment since his name was invoked.
Thank you, Chair Agbaje. And I am familiar with how tail spending works. I think the point I was trying to make is the fact that, you know, even, you know, right now with the, you know, the best budget situation that we've got, we're saying how we're prioritizing the money that's available in the tails, and we're only giving $50 million out of, you know, I don't know exactly what the tails number is. I think it's something like $8 billion to housing. And so, yes, a future legislature could choose to allocate more money. But one, we don't know whether that money's going to be there. And two, we've seen that historically and consistently, even in the best of budget times, that housing is not going to get the resources that it needs and deserves. And so it's only by making the tough decision of implementing a tool like this, because, yes, the legacy was done by voter amendment, but at the same time, we're elected to come up here and make these tough decisions on behalf of Minnesotans. We don't do a lot via voter referendum here in the state of Minnesota because the voters elect us and send us here to the Capitol to make these decisions. And so I think given what we've seen with this best of times budget picture, the only way we're going to get the resources we need for housing moving forward is to institute a tool like this.
Thank you. Roll call having been requested, the clerk will call the roll on the A8 amendment.
Chair Howard.
No.
Chair Howard, nay. Vice Chair Agbaje.
No.
Vice Chair Agbaje, A. Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Johnson, aye. Representative Shaw.
No.
Representative Shaw, nay. Representative Dotseth.
Dotseth, yes.
Representative Dotseth, aye. Representative Hassan.
No.
Representative Hassan, nay. Representative Hussein.
Nay.
Representative Hussein, nay. Representative Kozlowski.
Nay.
Representative Kozlowski, nay. Representative Myers.
Aye.
Representative Myers, aye. Representative Nash.
Nash, aye.
Representative Nash, aye. Representative Norris.
No.
Representative Norris, nay. Representative Perez Vega.
Nope.
Representative Perez Vega, nay. Representative Petersburg.
Aye.
Representative Petersburg, aye. Chair, that concludes roll call with 5 ayes and 8 nays.
The motion does, or the amendment does not prevail, and it is not adopted. Next amendment we have is the A9 amendment. I believe, Representative Johnson, you are moving that one. Would you like to move the A9 amendment and then explain it?
Yes, I'd like to move the A9 amendment. What the A9 amendment was designed to do was to allow cities that have land ready to go to be able to use it right away. But unfortunately, I found a slight type error in it. The or should have been a that to keep the funds still out in greater Minnesota. So I'll still talk about it a little bit, and then I'm going to withdraw it unless the author will allow the technical change of or to a that. Because what it is was designed for is really help cities get workforce housing and help with infrastructure needs.
Did you want an oral amendment to your
If the chair would allow.
Chair Howard?
It's your amendment. I would allow it. I'm just reading it right now just to understand how that rule, how that change would. But I'm definitely happy to kind of consider it right now. So,
If you would like the oral amendment, we can get House Research to read it back so we know what we're.
These funds were designed for greater Minnesota, and with the OR in it, it allows up for metro cities to take it. Because where it was placed, so if it said that instead of or, then it would be that is located outside the metro area.
All right.
Or it brings them in. So that was just, we didn't have time to really review it last night because we got, or to change it because by the time we got the amendment or the bill and doing the amendments, we were in committee, we didn't have time to really go through it.
Understood. I think we got that oral amendment. Can we get House Research to read that back so we have the correct amendment in front of us?
Sure. So this would be page 1, line 3 of the A9 amendment, delete or and insert that.
All right, thank you. So with the oral amendment now in front of us, is there any further discussion to the amendment? Chair Howard.
Chair Badger, Representative Johnson, as I read...
Sorry, I have to adopt the oral amendment. I'm sorry. with the oral amendment in front of us, changing the or to a that, all those in favor of the oral amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed, say nay. All right, oral amendment is adopted. And now we can move on to member discussion. Chair Howard.
Chair Badger, Representative Johnson, as I'm reading this, I think I'm okay with it. I guess my question is to you is, I sort of read the intent of the that provision in general to be able for these dollars to be available, sort of innate that if a entity is applying for resources that it's because they're working to develop to target the infrastructure of undeveloped areas. I'm just curious if as you read this, is there a particular, I guess, what are we adding here from your perspective? What is this going to add to sort of that isn't there present?
Representative Johnson.
Well, what we're trying to do is make sure that the funds can be used to develop property the city owns for workforce housing.
Representative Howard, or Chair Howard.
Chair Gbadji, at this point, I'm comfortable accepting the amendment. You know, I think if we want to continue to work on it, if we hear from folks that they have questions, concerns, et cetera, we can keep the conversation, but I'm comfortable accepting the amendment at this time.
Any further discussion to the amendment as amended? All those in favor to the amendment as amended, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay. The amendment is adopted. I believe we have also the A11 amendment. I have Representative Dossett. Will you be offering... Oh, Representative Myers will be offering that one. All right, Representative Myers, would you like to move the A11 amendment and then explain it?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, so moved. Representative Myers.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair Howard. So I actually thought about this amendment and trying to find new ways to address homelessness. And, you know, we had talked about it, too, about ways that we can stretch our dollars. And I gave you a couple examples when I was in your office of some personal things that I do with local nonprofits to do that. But what this amendment does is, you know, changes the $150 million to $120 and then puts the $15 million for the next 2 years to grants to cities to acquire abandoned or unused school buildings so that we can convert those into homeless shelters. And I think we've seen it in a couple of my other committees where we use existing structures at a cost level that really helps than building brand new facilities. It also puts in there, and I think we saw that with a sprinkler bill that I looked at, where we were going to work with the Department of Education to, you know, work with those school districts that have unused properties, that we could then get that information back and look at the potential around the state of Minnesota in the metro for converting those. So I'm looking to, you know, hopefully you will consider this. But again, it kind of goes back to stretching the dollars and adding a little more efficiency. We brought up specifically where are those opportunities that we have to cut our budgets to move money to other areas. And maybe this is one of those ways.
Representative Howard.
Chair Badger, Representative Myers, I appreciate the amendment. I appreciate the idea. You know, it sort of makes me think of, I know that for a couple years I've heard the, especially post-pandemic, you know, are there going to be more availability of office space? Mm-hmm. Can you convert office space into housing of some kind? And so that sort of thinking about being efficient with existing buildings, I really like that thinking. I think it probably needs more sort of study and sort of feasibility before we would want to put that amount of resource into it. And I really think we wouldn't want to take it from the first generation home buyers, but I would commit to working with you on this concept because I think it's a worthwhile endeavor for us to consider how we use existing structures. That is partly why our investment in naturally occurring affordable housing, to preserve what we already have, that's an efficient use of dollars, and I see this as a potential path to be more efficiently using resources as well. So thank you. I encourage you to no vote at the time, but want to keep working with you on it.
Representative Myers.
Thank you, Chair. I do appreciate that. You know, I deal with homelessness in my district, you know, working at the food shelf, trying to help a lot of people, either through the West Tonka Food Shelf, WECAN, other areas. And I think there are greater opportunities, not just with schools. I think there's greater opportunities in other structures that aren't being used. And, you know, we heard one of those structures on the floor last week. But I'm hoping that we can continue to have that conversation. But I would ask people to support it.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. I'm sorry it got so fast. I didn't get a chance to ask questions in regards to this. Again, I would say this is an opportunity for us to have to use infrastructure that's already available and out there. Many decades ago, a story for you to hear is Mother Teresa was given a large high-rise building downtown New York for use of her for homelessness. Okay, and she had to give it back. Why? Because the ADA and other requirements said she had to make the entire building ADA compliant before she could open it up for anybody. And she had no money to do that in. And so even though she could have maintained housing for those that were handicapped on the lower level so she didn't need it, she just couldn't open it up. And so oftentimes we create more obstacles for ourselves because of some of the rules and regulations that we have. Here's an opportunity for schools that have a facility that is still structurally functional to be used for something that is a great need. Owatonna, for example, is building a brand new high school, so it's going to have an empty school here shortly. And this would be an opportunity that could be used to retrofit already existing facilities. They've got bathrooms in them, et cetera, that might be able to do that, and it would certainly give an opportunity. So I think it's a great idea. I think it's something that we explore, even if it doesn't get passed now. I think it's something that we should explore because we need to start utilizing the infrastructure that we have and not just always abandon it or try to just slough it off. So I would recommend a yes vote.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I forget what news channel it was on, Mr. Chair. I want to say a month ago or less that there was an effort in northern Minnesota that turned an existing home, school into like a bed and breakfast. So there's some of this being done. I fish all across Minnesota, and we wind up going through a lot of small towns, and there's a lot of empty school buildings, and we know that housing is a statewide issue. I think this would be a great idea. You know, a lot of these buildings are sprinklered, they're still being maintained, they're solidly built. You know, schools have always been built to withstand, you know, Godzilla coming out of Duluth Harbor. So I think that there's a lot of virtue in looking at this. I think that Representative Myers has a really good idea here that it could be something that can meet an immediate need. We have the building, so we don't have the CapEx cost of acquiring or building out a building. I think that this comes down to renovation and then OpEx moving forward. I think it's a really good idea. I support it. I hope that maybe you can change your mind on it. I think it's a really innovative idea to look at things that already are out there that are slowly falling into disrepair that we can acquire and put people who have great needs into them to stabilize where they are and help them move forward to get back on their feet. I think this is a really very much inspired idea, and I support it.
Representative Dotseth.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Chair Howard. You know, Representative Meyer, I think this is what we've been elected to do, come up with solutions. This is definitely a solution-minded amendment right here. And I would ask that you kindly support this amendment. I think as well as I travel across greater Minnesota as well as all of Minnesota, we see such wonderful historic buildings that are left rotting away that we could preserve and actually utilize. This is where I would actually encourage us to look more as legislators into more solutions like this. So I would be a yes vote on this one. Thank you.
Representative Myers, did you want to jump back in or do you want me to wait until?
Oh, if somebody else has here, go ahead.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Chair Badger, Chair Howard, Representative Myers, thank you for this amendment. It works. Just in my district alone, I have three schools, an old hospital, that have been turned into apartment buildings, not just for homeless shelters, but they've actually been turned into apartment buildings. One's a senior complex. It's a building that's available that does not cost three arms and four legs to refurbish. It has the sprinkler systems in already, but it's a lot lower cost than building new. And it keeps the heritage of the community there. So, Representative Myers, thank you. I think this is a good opportunity to get some housing units as well as shelters quickly and not have to wait years to build new complexes, but have an opportunity to get some housing in the communities where Grandma and Grandpa could live. So thank you.
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. While I think this might be a good idea, I think it defeats the purpose of what we have been trying to do, which is the reason why we created the first generation down payment assistance was because there are people who home ownership is a far-fetched dream. So taking this much amount from the down payment assistance doesn't accomplish and doesn't get us out of the crisis that we're in. I like the idea. We can maybe explore this idea and where else to get funding. But for me, this idea doesn't work because we're taking away from a lot of money from the down payment, first generation down payment assistance, which helps people who have never owned a home, their parents have never owned a home, don't have ability to own a home, and it helps them become first time home buyers. So, Rep. Myers, I appreciate the thought into this. But I think, you know, tapping into the first generation down payment assistance is where I draw the line of saying, like, I like the idea. Let's explore this idea and where we're going to fund it maybe next year and maybe work on it. Maybe there are, you know, the Minnesota Realtor Association would take these buildings and turn it into homes. I don't know. Like, there's different ideas out there that we can get the funding, but funding it from taking this much money from the first generation down payment assistance is not the way to go. Thank you.
Representative Howard, and then I'll end with Representative Myers.
Chair Gbaji, members, appreciate the discussion. I also did want to bring some information from Minnesota Housing, which is that currently I understand that permanent housing in this way is already an eligible use for housing infrastructure bonds and the challenge program, which we're funding in this bill. It isn't currently a use for shelter, so maybe that's something we could look at in terms of eligibility in the future, but I just wanted to bring that information to bear as well.
Representative Myers.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I do want to say, Rep. Hassan, you beat me to what I was going to say. I know everybody's looking down on this because I took money from Chair Abaje, and I get that. So, Chair Howard, is there other potential figures that money could come from besides Abaje's bill?
I'll just add as the interim chair, it's really not about specific bill.
Yeah.
But thank you. I appreciate your concern.
But it was leading me to, yes, are there other things within, you know, the current omnibus bill that would allow that type of funding for projects like this?
Chair Igbaj, Representative Myers, that's kind of like asking someone to choose their favorite child, and you know, I guess what I would say is, especially with this in the realm of being an eligible use, I mean, at this time, I wouldn't be comfortable just sort of moving dollars around, that kind of thing. But I truly would like to work together and see if there's a path to either work on an expanded use for this. consider what has, I'm not too familiar where it's been utilized in the past and understanding if it's working well or if we need tweaks, that kind of thing. But maybe we could work together on a bill and if you'd be comfortable, you know, coming back next year presenting a bill on this, I'd be more than happy to work together towards that goal.
All right. Any further discussion? All right. We will take a vote on the A11 amendment. All those in favor of the A11 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
No. The amendment does not prevail, and the amendment is not adopted. So I believe those are all of the amendments that we have in front of us today. So we will be moving on to discussion of the bill. Okay, so now I'll move the DE2 as amended to amend House File 2335. And so then we'll vote on this, so that way we have the amended DE2 in front of us, and then we'll continue on to discussion about the entire bill as amended. So all those in favor of the DE2 amendment as amended to amend HF 2335, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The amendment prevails, and HF 2335 is amended. So now we will move on to member discussion of the entire bill package as amended. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, I'm going to go back to some of the unintended consequences of some of the fundraising that is going on. You know, earlier I talked about how we kind of oftentimes work in a vacuum in regards to some of the things we're doing. So let me just share with you, you know, the impact of what we're doing with this bill in regards to the 0.25%. So, and I know you can't always use that, but just so we understand, currently transportation is going to be adding in their bill a 75-cent delivery charge for every delivery, and a 0.75% sales tax increase. And so what that means is if you order a pizza from Domino's and you say, hey, it's a special day, we're going to order pizza from Domino's, and it's an $18 pizza because you want all of the good stuff on it, all of a sudden, on top of that $18 now is going to be the 75-cent tax for the delivery charge, plus the full 1% additional sales tax of 18 cents, putting you almost to an additional dollar. That's a 5% increase on that cost, even without any kind of inflationary costs or whatever. And so this is a big deal when we don't think about things in general. And I know, Mr. Chair, you have to look at within your own responsibilities, but it's something that I think we continually need to understand moving forward about how this impacts other budgets and other things. You know, I think there are a lot of good things done in this particular bill. And a lot of improvements made, and we're going to, I hope we can build more houses. I would love to be able to build more houses that are also cheaper to build rather than just put money in to make the end product a little less costly, because I think that has much far-reaching impacts. However, that's another discussion for another day. I just think that this bill has some big concerns, and I'm always concerned about the raising of taxes. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's safe to say that everybody around this table feels passionately about housing, and I think we do. We've had some animated discussions, and we've had some agreements, and we've had a lot of times where we all are recognizing that, oh, this is something that we should work on, and I like the part where we have all come together. And Mr. Chair, I will congratulate you and say thank you for always listening to us and affording us as much time as you could from the minority. I am grateful for that. And I came on the Housing Committee very intentionally. And I think you and I talked about that. I have always been a strong proponent for housing here at the Capitol. And told myself, well, now it's time to get on the Housing Committee. So I took my name off the list for Commerce and put my name on the list for this because I think it's that big of a deal. And you and I see things somewhat differently in many ways, and I think we're on the same page on a lot of things. But the bill has many good aspects to it. I don't, however, and you know what I'm about to say, I don't think that it's solving the inventory problem to the degree that is commensurate to the level of the problem that we have with inventory. We have the worst housing inventory in the country. We are not building enough starter houses. We are not building enough houses in general. We have some regulatory issues that we need to deal with, and I appreciate you giving me the runway to talk about that when I bring the bill. But even the investments that you're making in building houses is not going to be commensurate to the challenge that we have with the creation of new houses. You're doing a lot of investment for people who will find themselves in apartments or rental houses or other houses that already exist. And I think we've got an agreement on that, that we're not really putting our thumb on the scale heavily for the creation of new buildings, whether it be single family or multi-housing. We're not doing enough. And I came to this committee hoping that we could do that, and we didn't. And again, this bill has a lot of things in it that I would support if its own bill. And I've said that a couple of times in committee. And then you got a billion-dollar target, and that is a lot. And in that largesse, I still don't see that we're building enough new homes. So I'm not going to belabor this in committee. We'll belabor it maybe on the floor, but I wish that we had done. I got to laugh out of Chair Hassan for that. Everybody loves a Jim Nash floor speech. I just wish that we had done more, that we had made a very heavy intentionality, like you did with some of the rental stuff that you have done in here, that we had said, look, we have an inventory problem, and we have a problem as to where can we help people with rental assistance and other things. But we didn't. So I'll be voting no coming out of committee, and hope that we can have another fuller discussion on the floor about the overall statewide inventory issues, because we're not competitive. You know, you can go to the state of Wisconsin, you can go to the state of Iowa, North, South Dakota, the states that are directly adjacent to us, and some are closer to those borders than not, and you can find very often the same exact model house for a lot less. I wish we had addressed some of those problems. I wish that we had addressed problems that were fundamental to the creation of those new homes, and for that reason, I'm voting no.
Representative Norris.
Thank you, Chair Agbaje. Everybody can probably guess I'm going to be the manufactured housing cheerleader here, and just want to thank Chair Howard for the time you've given manufactured housing in the committee. We had some great discussions about it through the course of the session, and we're really excited about $25 million in this bill for a manufactured home lending program that would allow for money to go to new manufactured home financing programs to help with down payment assistance for manufactured housing, as well as home repair, renovation, removal, site preparation. I think that's going to be a big help for a lot of manufactured housing residents across the state. I'm also excited about the $10 million for the cooperative purchase program to try to help facilitate the purchase of manufactured home parks by the residents. I'm also hopeful that over in the tax bill we'll see some tax credits to incentivize park owners to sell to their residents, and just really appreciate all the conversations we've had amongst all the stakeholders in this area, and I think there's some real wins in here for manufactured housing in the state of Minnesota.
I have Representative Johnson next, but do you want Representative Hassan to go before? Okay. Representative Hassan?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Howard, for being a champion. You and I got elected in the same year, and we have served housing in Housing Committee for this whole time. I have seen your commitment and dedication to want to dig us out of the hole we're in the housing crisis that we're in the midst of. I'll quote former Chair Hassman, who used to say, if you don't have a place to lay your head at night, nothing else goes right in life. And that's the reality of what's happening with our communities. There are people who don't have a place to call home. There are people who can't keep a job because they get evicted and they're homeless now, or their kids keep changing schools because family is bouncing from one place to another. So this is a real problem that impacts real people in our communities across the state of Minnesota. I'm gonna speak on my favorite subject, home ownership. I've been talking about home ownership this whole time. I think that, you know, we know that home ownership stabilizes neighborhoods, it creates generational wealth, You know, there's even research that says that kids who come from families who own their homes do well and better in school than kids who their families are renters and have to move around. So I'm super thankful with the leadership of Vice Chair Agbaje on the first generation down payment assistance, and with the two bills that I'm carrying, with the home ownership bill, with the Home Coalition, as well as the fee-based one. I was unable to present that bill, but Chair Noor did that for me. What I want to address on that bill is that the reason why we're doing, why we came up with that bill, of course, there is a home ownership disparities. Minnesota is, I believe, the fourth largest disparity in the nation between for home ownership between mainstream folks and BIPOC communities, but also the Somali community, who are predominantly Muslim, who don't use interest in their loans, really want to be homeowners. I think the home ownership rate is only 7%. And then they, you know, when you really want to do something, you're going to find somebody who wants to do that. They found something called contract for deed. And contract for deed is the wild, wild west, because the rules don't apply. Many of the rules in the regular mortgage don't apply in contracts for deed. So people, you know, are spending a whole lot. There's something in my community, and I'm sure other communities of color, that is called ayuta. Ayuta is a collection of money. So I'll get money from myself, my sister, my friend. We're going to collect it together. We're going to help one person. And then we're going to do it again to help another person. So people are doing that collection of money to do a heavy down payment. We're talking about $120,000 of down payment on this contract for deed. And then come to find out a year later, oh, there's something called a balloon payment, which, by the way, nobody has explained to you, or it was maybe lightly touched and you didn't understand it. And of course, I'm very appreciative of Rep. Nash for his inclusion of the translation and interpreting, because that is going to be really key. So if you can't come up with the balloon payment, guess what? You lose the house. The house, you didn't purchase the house. You were actually renting the house. You don't have to go through the foreclosure process, which takes at least time. You get evicted. So somebody who has spent all of this money is homeless. That is a reality that is happening, and there was a Star Tribune article, an NPR article, and also the Sahan Journal did an extensive stories on that. There was a guy who was on there who paid $300,000, and he's homeless today, lost all of it. There's a friend of mine who purchased a home not too long ago, and the other day he was telling me, oh, we're living in my sister's apartment in Minnetonka. These are families with large people with large families who normally can't fit in an apartment anyway. So I'm super thankful for you including in that piece, because it's going to be helpful. It's going to be helpful to tell people that this fee-based program doesn't include interest. And hopefully, you know, next year we can look into some of the contracts for deed and maybe come up with a way to tighten the rules on that, because that really is hurting a lot of people. I'm happy that we got $1 billion on this, but I'm also a little disappointed, and it's no surprise to anybody that the tails are only $50 million, because you don't tell people that I'm going to dig you out of a hole, and then when you come to the service, you're on your own, because that's exactly what we're doing. I think housing has been long underinvested. There's historical underinvestment for housing. And we should continue to put more dollars into housing. And housing is a spectrum from shelters all the way to home ownership. And we should fund every sector of housing to make sure that we don't have people who are homeless. We don't have people who are spending over 50% of their income to pay their rent. And we don't have people who want to purchase a home but are, you know, falling into predatory lending and people who are taking advantage of them. So I'm supporting this bill, and I'm super thankful for all your work. Thank you.
Representative Johnson.
Chair Abadji, Chair Howard, I know you did a lot of work on this bill, but I have a lot of concerns on this bill. To start with, I'm going to talk about lines three lines on page 34, line 9 and 10. The reason we talked about the split is because of this section. Trying to provide that Greater Minnesota gets some funding as well. In subdivision 43 on lines 14 and 15, the agency must prioritize the use of appropriations for any program under this chapter to serve households most affected by housing disparities. We don't have a lot of that in Greater Minnesota. So that means most of the money is going to go to the metro. Now, we also have some issues on page 30. My mistake on the mark is line 30, page 30, lines 14 and 15. But to page 34, I have some concerns as well. Lines 9 and 10 on page 34. It takes away this body's oversight and our duties. It removes the words, grants under this subdivision may be made only with specific appropriations by the legislature. What that means that Minnesota Housing Finance can do it, grants whatever they want. They can use money from wherever they want, especially in the fact that in this bill, it removes the debt ceiling. Changes, the only place that is subject to a debt ceiling is general obligation bonds. But loans, grants, any other bonds that could rise up debt for the state, which actually, if you read in the statutes, even though the federal law says the state's not and the taxpayers are not liable for anything, our statutes actually say otherwise. It says MMB will reimburse Minnesota Housing Finance if the deposits don't cover the debt. So the taxpayers will be covering the debt in violation of federal law. So I have concerns about that they can actually appropriate money without the legislature's approval. I'm wondering if Commissioner Ho or anybody from Minnesota Housing Finance happens to be here.
I believe Mr. Baumtrag is here, if you'd like to come down. Representative Johnson.
Chair Badgey to the testifier. Earlier this year, I had a wonderful conversation with the commissioner, and she was concerned about the amount of that we're looking at in this bill and the amount of new employees they're going to need. I'm just wondering if you could give the committee a estimate on the number of new employees, full-time employees, you're going to need to process this bill for this biennium.
Mr. Baumtrag, if you could state your name for the record and then answer the question.
Certainly, Chair Bajay. Members of the committee, my name is Ryan Baumtrag. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for Policy and Community Development in Minnesota Housing. Representative Johnson, I do not have that number. That's not something that we've been asked to put together specific to this legislative proposal, but it is dozens, tens of new employees that we need. It depends on the ultimate package that comes out at the end of session. So the governor's budget did focus on existing programs with relatively few new programs, because we think that limits the number of new employees that we need to deliver the assistance in a more timely basis.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you very much. That's, Representative Howard, that's a concern I had, and that's why a concern the commissioner had by no fiscal notes being made. And we had talked about it early in the year that we need to have fiscal notes on this stuff, because of, especially for employee reasons. So I have concerns on that. Another issue I have concerns on is the amount of nonprofits that is specifically given funding. They're named in the bill. I don't know if you read the OLA report on nonprofits, but that was a concern. And this bill does nothing for that. And there's nothing in the bill to deal with fixing that issue. Hopefully MF, Minnesota Housing Finance, will come up with some ideas to fix that issue, but there's no guarantees. And we've also talked about the cost of housing. This bill does nothing to reduce the cost of housing. One reason home prices are so high right now is because of supply chain shortages. The value of a home right now, if you build it, is much less than what's the actual cost to build. That's due to the fact that supply chain shortages. The lumber industry, most of our lumber comes from Canada right now, and they were shut down for almost 2 years, and they're trying to get caught up with the amount of lumber they're producing. But we're still not there yet, but the prices have come down some. But still, at this time, it costs more to build a house than you can actually buy the same house. So the value is below building costs. And that's another thing that's driven up the cost of housing, is the lack of supply. Because we're not building, we can't build, you can't afford to build. Now, this year, our state budget, with all the bills we're looking at, is about a 39% increase over this biennium. Granted, it's a lot of one-time spending, but we're still looking at $5 billion or maybe more in new taxes and fees. That's concerning. I'm concerned that the state is building a house of cards. And with the outlook on the economy, some economists are concerned. I don't want that house of cards from tumbling down, which I'm afraid it's going to do with this budget. The tax increases. We took in over the last couple of years over $17 billion by overtaxing the citizens of this state. And we're not giving a dime back. We're spending more and raising taxes on top of it. $17 billion. And every one of us campaigned, including the governor, to give it back. We should be ashamed of ourselves for not doing that.
Representative Johnson, I'm going to give you a little bit of leeway, but we shouldn't really be impugning motives in the committee.
Representative Abadji, I said we. I mean all of us. Every one of us in this room. Should be ashamed because we're not doing it. So, we also talked about the differences between the states. Representative Howard talked about East Coast and West Coast. Representative Nash talked about the surrounding states. I look at Fargo-Moorhead. Almost the difference between looking at one side of Mexico and the United States. There's a huge difference. Moorhead is in blight. Fargo is exploding. That's a border city. This bill is not going to help. I say we vote no on this bill and start over. So please vote against it.
Any other member discussion? All right. I'll just say something quickly before we go to Representative Howard. I just want to say thank you for.
I also request a roll call.
And Representative Johnson requests a roll call vote. Roll call being requested, we will do that. I just want to say, you know, thank you so much for putting together or chairing this committee. It's been a very good session, I think, and I think anyone would say that you have been very fair. To all the committee members and listening and taking in all the considerations around housing, which is a very serious and growing concern across the state of Minnesota. I appreciate this bill very much, particularly because I do think it has a balanced approach between manufactured housing, housing concerns for greater Minnesota, and, of course, housing concerns for the metro. What we want to do is we want to make sure that we are supporting people where they have the most need, and that most need is in our is in housing. And if without that stability, as we've heard, everything else starts to fall apart. So I just want to say thank you to you for your time and commitment to housing and to the residents of the state of Minnesota. And with that, I'll leave it to you for closing comments before we go to the vote.
Thank you, Chair Igbaje and members. And to close, I want to start where I started yesterday, which is thank yous. And first and foremost, thank our incredibly talented and hardworking staff, if not for which this committee wouldn't be able to function, if not for which we wouldn't have this strong bill before us. So thank you all so very, very much. And I want to thank every member of this committee. I want to specifically thank Vice Chair Igbaje for her partnership and leadership in this bill. I want to thank Lee Johnson, and I want to thank all of the minority members, some more than others. but in seriousness, I think that our minority members came to this committee with their passion for housing, their ideas, and I appreciate your contributions. I want to thank all of the members of the majority party who authored many, many bills that comprise this omnibus bill that, as Chair Igbaje says, really does what I think we need to do, which is look at the whole spectrum of the needs of our constituents of Minnesotans and recognize, as Chair Hassan said, that if housing, nothing in our life goes well unless we have access to a safe home. And that's what makes this committee, this work, so important, and why I'm just so grateful to be presenting a bill that makes will make such a big impact on people's lives. I really view this bill as the biggest step this legislature has taken on the path to a state where everyone has access to an affordable home. We have more steps to go, but this is the biggest one we've taken. We're going to build a lot more homes. We're going to preserve the affordable homes we have. We're going to create more pathways to home ownership, take our first steps to address homelessness, to make our state a place where every family has access to a stable home. We're investing in solutions across the state and making short-term and long-term investments. This is the kind of housing bill that we can be proud of, that this committee can be proud of, and I look forward to a yes vote for our work on this bill and for all the work to come, because we're just getting started. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chair Howard. I will renew the motion that House File 2335, as amended, be referred to the House Taxes Committee. Roll call having been requested, the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Howard.
Aye.
Chair Howard, aye. Vice Chair Igbaje.
Aye.
Vice Chair Igbaje, aye. Representative Johnson.
No.
Representative Johnson, nay. Representative Cha.
Aye.
Representative Cha, aye. Representative Dotseth.
Dotseth, no.
Representative Dotseth, nay. Representative Hassan.
Yes and yes.
Representative Hassan, aye. Representative Hussein.
Aye.
Representative Hussein, aye. Representative Kolowski.
See.
Representative Kolowski, see. Representative Myers.
Nay.
Representative Myers, nay. Representative Nash.
No.
Representative Nash, nay. Representative Norris.
Yes.
Representative Norris, aye. Representative Perez Vega.
Yes.
Representative Perez Vega, aye. Representative Petersburg.
No.
Representative Petersburg, nay. Chair, that concludes a roll call with 8 ayes and 5 nays.
With 8 ayes and 5 nays, the bill, the motion prevails in House File 2335, as amended, is re-referred to the House Taxes Committee with the changes as authorized by the chairs for nonpartisan staff to make the technical changes that reflect the will of the committee. So that passes. Thank you all. Representative Johnson, you had some comments?
Chair Badgett, Chair Howard, I want to thank you for this time we've had together. I'm hoping we have to meet again to put together a better bill. But I want to thank you for the we've handled this committee. We've had our ups and we've had our downs, but we've worked together to try to make the best bill possible that both sides could agree to. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But good luck with your bill. We'll see it on the House floor again.
With that, members, this is our last regularly scheduled committee meeting, and until the chair calls us back, we will see you all next year. And with that, we are adjourned.